grassroots Indian people are not wealthy as a result of the casinos. Right? Maybe a few chiefs are, but it has not, it didn't appear at all to have a great economic benefit to the people that it's supposed to be benefiting. And I also read some time ago that in places where casinos have been built, that police departments have to be educated on suicide prevention and dealing with people who are contemplating suicide. I would not have thought of that as being a major issue, but it does make a lot of sense when you think about it. I don't know how it's going to help us. Okay, that's sermon number one. Sermon number two will be a whole lot longer. But I would like you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. I feel very sorry for Josh Witkowski. I know he'd love to be standing right here, right now, preaching. And I hope he gets feeling better soon. I don't want to be the beneficiary of his problems, but it's always a delight to preach, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. James chapter 4, we're very familiar with verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We call this sins of omission, where we know what we ought to do, but we don't do that. And if that's the case, we are sinning. Now, the word therefore is the concluding word of logic. It's one of my favorite words, okay? Because I taught it for so long at Ambassador, the subject of logic. But in order to know what this is concluding, we need to look at the preceding context. That makes sense, doesn't it? All right. This is the conclusion of a thought in verse 17 that begins back in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now he's addressing people who have planned their own time schedule, today or tomorrow. They've planned their own location. We're going to such a city, and we're going to stay there a year, and they plan their own vocation. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. And he says to those people, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is the specific sin that he's dealing with here? What is the omission that he's dealing with here specifically in context? Ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Whereas we can make other applications to verse 17. We can say, well, if you know you ought to tithe and you don't, that's sin. That's true. If you know you ought to be a soul winner and you're not, that's sin. That's true. If you know you ought to pray and read your Bible and you don't, that's sin. All those things are true. But what it's specifically talking about is not consulting the will of God for your life. That's what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, it's a good thing to follow the will of God. But if you know that you ought to do that and you don't, you are living in sin. Right. Now, I want to address primarily our graduates, but really I think this has application to every single Christian, because God has a specific will for every Christian, an individual will. Now, there are some things that are the will of God for everyone. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants every Christian to grow in the Lord. There are a lot of things that are clearly stipulated in Scripture, but there are some details of life that differ from one individual to the other. And God has a specific plan for every single one of us, a specific niche that He has designed us to fit into, a specific ministry, because every Christian should be involved in the service of God, a specific detail for your life that's different from the details of God's plan for other people's lives. And every single Christian is living in sin if he lives his life apart from the will of God. All right? Now, you must allow God to specifically direct your life and ministry. And we're going to look at this from kind of a negative standpoint, because I've entitled this message, When God Says No. I think God often leads us by giving us information. Sometimes He leads us by withholding information from us. One church that I pastored, had I known how deeply they were in debt, I might not have ever considered to become the pastor. But God put me there, and it was a blessed ministry. And I would have missed out on a great blessing if I had been leaning unto my own understanding. You know. But I do believe that God opens doors. That's a biblical term. Apostle Paul said there was an open door, an effectual. But I think God also closes doors. And God can lead us by opening doors. He can lead us by closing doors. And we're going to talk about closing doors. When God says no, let's pray. Father, help us as we look into your word, understand what you have for us today. I pray that every single one of us would be aware of the fact that you have a specific plan for our lives, a plan that's good, acceptable, and perfect, and therefore vastly superior to our own plans. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to realize that we must allow you to direct us. And Lord, help us to follow and understand your guidance, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. God has obligated himself to give specific guidance to his children if they qualify for that spiritually. Now, the Bible says a lot about individual guidance, and in almost every single context, it also includes some prerequisite we need to meet in order to qualify for that guidance, such as trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Those are prerequisites. And what will happen as a result is, and he shall direct thy path. Or present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those are prerequisites. The result is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's a prerequisite. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. I think that's the guidance. He puts the desires there, and then he helps you to fulfill those desires. Over and over again, God says, if you will keep your heart right with me, I will show you how to live. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It's a very consistent pattern in the Scripture. It's not that a carnal Christian can say, I'm about to make a major decision of my life, and so I need to make it knowing what God's will is. There's no promise that God is going to give guidance to the carnal Christian. It's amazing to me that, well, statistics tell us that within about 5 years of graduation from high school, most people make the major decisions of their lives. Career choices, college choices, marriage choices. That's a great time to be spiritually mature. That's a great time to be in tune with God, in fellowship with Him, desiring to know and do His will and living in obedience to the word that He's already told you is His will for your life. You know, if you're not living in obedience to the things that God has revealed to you already in the Scripture, why should He reveal anything else to you about the details of your life? But there are times when we make plans, and it's not wrong to plan. It's wrong to make our plans apart from saying, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. It's wrong to make our plans in place of God's plans. But when we plan, we should understand there are times when God is going to say no. And by the way, every parent here knows that no is a good answer. Every kid doesn't think so, but every parent knows that no is a good answer. And when we hear no from God, that's a good answer. So instead of getting angry at Him and rebelling against Him and making things worse for us, we need to realize that there are times when God will tell us no. Now, there are different kinds of no. When parents say no, it doesn't always mean the exact same thing in every instance. And when God says no, it doesn't always mean the exact same thing in every instance. You say, now, wait a minute. God is consistent. Yes. But let's look at some scripture, all right? There's sometimes when God says no, when it absolutely means no, not anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances, by anybody. That's pretty clear, right? Exodus chapter 20 records the Ten Commandments. And when He says, thou shalt have no other gods before Me, that's an absolute. No exceptions to that. When He said, don't bow down to any graven images, there are no exceptions to that. When He said, thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, covet, bear false witness, those mean don't do those things, okay? You don't have to pray about any of those things. You've already got the answer. You know the will of God is no, 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 no. So sometimes when God says no, He means never. And the Ten Commandments are good examples of that. We should not tempt God by disobeying His nevers. You know, the Israelites tempted God. I don't mean they enticed Him to sin. I mean, they provoked Him to anger. Book of Hebrews describes how they provoked God in the wilderness, fighting against His will, unwilling to go through what He wanted them to go through. Obedience is always the only legitimate option for a Christian. But you know, sometimes when God says no, He doesn't mean never. Sometimes He means not this. In 1 Chronicles 28, for the sake of time, we'll not turn to all these, but maybe we can tell the story and you can remember. David had a desire to build the temple. Now that was a good desire, to build a house for God. And David wanted to do it. It was a good thing to do, and David desired to do it. But God said, no, not this. That's not what I have for you, David. Now, God had a tremendously significant ministry for David, but it did not include the specific detail of building the temple. God was going to have Solomon do that. And David was going to have a part in giving toward it, and he did that enormously and generously. But David didn't get to do that one thing that he wanted to do. That was not the specific will of God for David. Where David had in mind a ministry that he wanted to perform, a good thing that he wanted to do. But you know, God alone is qualified to determine your ministry. Only God is qualified to tell you what you ought to be doing. Sometimes, as a pastor or as a college professor, There's a temptation to tell young people, this is what you ought to do with your life. But that's not my prerogative. God and God alone. Sometimes I wanted to do that with my own children. This is what you ought to do with your life. But God alone is qualified to determine your ministry. And young people, as you consider the future, if the Lord tarries and lets you live, understand you've got to get your direction from God and from Him alone. You might have a desire for a certain ministry, and God may want you to do that. He may have put that desire in your heart, but maybe it didn't come from God. When I was about to graduate from high school, and I was convinced that God had called me into the ministry. Now, believe it or not, they did have high schools back then, right? They taught the three R's, only one of which started with R. Okay. But in that time of my life, I was impressed by a young man who was a youth evangelist. And I wanted to be like him. And so I went to college and was an evangelist major because I wanted to be an evangelist. I haven't made it yet. Okay. And the prospects don't look very good at this point, all right? But the thing is, I had a plan. It wasn't a bad plan. But that wasn't the ministry God wanted for me. He said, not this. God will equip you and burden you for that which He wants you to do. But sometimes He says, no, not this. I've got something else for you to do. Sometimes when God says no, He means not now. There's an interesting story in 2 Samuel chapter 5 of David going to battle against the Philistines, and he conquered them and then was going to have another battle. And God said, when David said to God, should I go up against the Philistines? God said, no. He said, wait till you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees. Now, let's don't worry too much about what that sound was exactly like. I don't know, all right? Well, it was a noise of some kind, okay? But what God meant when He said no was not now. David said, I'm ready to go. And God said, no, I want you to wait. I'll tell you when. And sure enough, after a while, he heard the sound in the mulberry trees, and David went to battle and won the victory. But sometimes when God says no, He means not now. I think as young people, I say that sarcastically, okay, I know. I used to be in that category. When you want something, when do you want it? Right now, okay? We have this now generation, which wants everything right now. And yet, you look at the Bible, a whole lot of things are to be reserved for later. Certainly the rewards of serving God, there are some now, but a whole lot more coming later, you know. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is. There are some blessings and benefits now, but end of that which is to come, there's a whole lot more coming later. We don't get it all now. And I think God is saying, I don't want you to do it all now either. When I was in Bible college, students were saying, we are wasting our time here going to college because Jesus could come at any moment and we need to get out there in the ministry. And they're still saying that today, 60 years later, however long it's been, 55 maybe. The thing is, God didn't want me to shortcut my training. And I believe that if young people understand they're in Bible college studying not to get degrees behind their names designed to impress people, but they're in school preparing to help people they've never even met yet, that they shouldn't cheat those people, that they shouldn't take shortcuts. And I think that sometimes, though people are wanting to do good things and want to do them right away, that sometimes God says, no, not now. That doesn't mean never, but it means not now. And then sometimes we need to just realize that good things can be done at bad times. The will of God includes the timetable of God. He knows not only what we should do, He knows when we should do it. So God alone is qualified to determine your time schedule. Whereas these in the book of James says, today or tomorrow we're going to go into such a city and buy and sell and continue there a year. We've got our timetable all figured out. God alone is qualified to determine your time schedule. And then, sometimes when God says no, He means not here. You're aware, no doubt, of the story in Acts chapter 16 where the Apostle Paul desired to go into Asia and he desired to go into Bithynia and those were places that needed the gospel. And Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature, and so surely it's not wrong to go anywhere. But wait just a second. God wanted Paul at that time to go to Macedonia. And he heard that, what we call the Macedonian vision. The people in Asia and Bithynia needed the gospel. But God said to Paul, no, not here. I've got a specific plan for you in another place. It's okay that you desire to preach the gospel in these places. Those people need the gospel. But I've got a different plan for somebody else to go there. Or maybe sometime later, Paul, you'll go there. But not you, not there, not now. Okay? Because God wanted him in a specific place at that time. God alone is qualified to choose the location where you live and serve him. Years ago, I had a student in class at Ambassador. In the homiletics class, we happened to be focusing on English grammar. It's kind of interesting. Guys come to Bible college and they say, why do we have to study English? And I'm thinking, what language do you plan to preach in? that's going to be important, you know. One student said, I don't know why I have to take speech. I'm not going to give speeches all my life. I'm just going to preach. It's amazing how they don't make connections sometimes, you know? That's why they need the grammar. But anyway, this one student said to me, he said, I don't need to worry about grammar because I'm just going to go, after I get out of school, go to the hills of Tennessee and start a church, and the people there don't care if you say, I ain't seen it, I ain't done it, and I ain't never gonna. Now, there are a few things wrong with that sentence, unless you don't know, in case you don't know that, all right? But here's my reaction to that statement. Who are you to say that the only place God could ever put you in His service is in the hills of Tennessee? And then, in the hills of Tennessee, are there any school teachers? Are you just going to automatically not minister to them? Any doctors? Any attorneys? You're just not going to minister to those people? the truth is, if you go to the hills of Tennessee or any other hills in any other place, and you say, I haven't seen it, I haven't done it, and I don't plan to, they're not going to get offended and walk out of the church, okay? But there might be somebody with some education who's offended by the poor way you present yourself, that they would miss out on the great message of the gospel. What a tragedy that would be. But the thing is, we can't limit God and say, here is where I'm going to go, and you put your stamp of approval on it. That's not the way it works. It's like Isaiah saying, here am I. Send me. You pick the place, okay? I'm just the volunteer. I just want to go. And I think there are a lot of young people who will surrender to God, which is a wonderful thing, but they sort of decide from there on how it's all going to work out, you know, when and where and with whom and all those kinds of things. But God alone is qualified to choose the location where you serve Him. Well, there's one more possibility when God says no that I see in the Scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, there's the story, 16, I'm sorry, starting verse 6, the story of Samuel going to anoint the next king of Israel after Saul. And so he goes to Jesse. He's got a house full of boys. And Samuel says, I've come to anoint the next king. And so Jesse brings out his firstborn, a guy who is going to be heard of in the next chapter. Eliab, Jesse's oldest son. You figure he's going to be the right guy to be the next king. He's the, you know, there must have been some wonderful qualities. Certainly he was the oldest. And that's a good quality, I've decided. Okay. You know, after all, the theologians say oldest is best when it comes to manuscripts, you know, so why can't it be true with people too, you know? By the way, it's not true with manuscripts. But here's Eliab, and Jesse said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, he's not the one. So he brought his number two son. Nope. Not the one. Number three, no. Number four, no. Number five, no. Number six, no. Number seven, no. And that's all the boys that were there. Samuel said, you got any more boys? And then Jesse said, oh, well, yeah, there's one out there, you know, but he's just watching the sheep. He's the little runt of the family here, and you know, we know he's not the one, right? Isn't it amazing how God's choices are so different from our plans? In that case, God, when he said no, meant not him, not him, not him, not him, not, six, seven times, not him. But David was the right one, the little shepherd boy. You see, God chooses specific individuals. I would say also to the unmarried, God chooses a specific spouse. If he wants you to be married, and doesn't want everybody to be married, but he wants most people to be married. I think we can see that from Scripture. But if he wants you to be married, he wants you to be married to a specific person. You don't just choose a girl or a guy because they're a girl or a guy, okay? There are other reasons. Well, he's handsome or she's beautiful or he's rich or whatever. There are a whole lot better reasons. But there's one reason that should supersede all the others. Is this the person God has chosen for me? The will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Sometimes when God says no, he means not him. not this one, somebody else. It could apply to marriage. It could apply to ministry relationships. It could apply to a lot of things. But sometimes when God says no, it doesn't mean no, not ever under any circumstances whatsoever. But not him. Not this person. Years ago, I had a good friend in the ministry who was a single young man. And he had gone through Bible college. His senior year, he was engaged to a young lady. And after he graduated, he broke up with this girl. What a dirty trick to pull in a girl, I think, you know. After she has no more prospects hanging around, you know. But anyway, he said to me, of course, you know, when you're single and you're up in, everybody's trying to line you up with somebody. My son had that same experience. He didn't get married until he was 29. He got tired of everybody trying to find somebody for him, you know. He let God do that, and I'm glad he did. But by the way, the fellow I'm talking about did the same thing. But at one point, he was single and pastoring a church. He started this church. If you start it, then they can't kick you out as easily, you know. He was pastoring this church, and he and I were talking about his situation one day, and he said, well, suppose you miss the will of God regarding marriage. Well, then the person you should have married somebody else. Now that they're both out of the will of God, and you can extend it. He had everybody in the whole world out of the will of God because one person didn't marry the right person. I have a hunch God has a way to fix all that, okay? So let's not worry about that from God's standpoint. Let's just make sure that we find his will. And sometimes when God says no, sometimes it means never under any circumstances. Sometimes it means not this. Sometimes it means not now. Sometimes it means not there. Sometimes it means not him. But God alone is qualified to fill in all those details specifically for our lives. You can plan your life apart from the will of God, but you will be living in sin. And therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You must allow God to specifically direct your life and service for him. Maybe some of you need to change direction from formulating and following your own plans for your life to saying, God, here am I. I don't know the future. I'm not smart enough to make these decisions. But thank God I have omniscience on my side. Can you imagine? You can make decisions from the standpoint of omniscience, knowing everything. Not because you bring that to the table, but because you have access to the God who knows everything. Nothing else makes any sense. Let's bow for prayer. As we get ready to pray, we'll be dismissed in just a moment. But just before I do pray, heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask if there might be some of you here who say, Brother Surrett, would you please pray for me? I don't want to mess up my life by leaning unto my own understanding. I don't want to live my life in sin, not consulting and following the will of God for my life. Please pray for me. I want to be right with him so he can direct and guide me. Are there some like that who just lift a hand? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you. Father in heaven, help us to always be aware that you have a specific plan for us. And Lord, help us to follow it. Thank you that your plans are not inferior to our plans. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to not lean unto our own understanding, to not willfully plan our lives apart from your plans. And I thank you for all these who've lifted their hands requesting prayer. Thank you for their tender hearts. Lord, direct them clearly, and may they follow. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.